Now we're going to read about Cain's line. We're going to study verses 21 and 22, but let's go back to verse 16 and start there when we read this morning. Genesis chapter 4, 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael. Mahujael begat Methusael. Methusael begat Lamech, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the other, Zillah. And I was going to say it again. I said last week, I said her name was Zillah, and after she got saved, her name was Godzilla. Anyway, and Ada, I was going to read it that way. And Ada begot Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. All right, now these two we'll look at today. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ, stringed instruments and wind instruments. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. And then we go on down and read some more, which we'll do at a later date. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, please, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to do several things. Supernatural in our midst today. First of all, Father, I pray you'll enable this preacher to be able to teach this material in such a way that it's understandable, clear, and plain. Father, I pray that you'll check my mind, that my thoughts will be stayed on thee. Check my mouth, that those things spoken are edifying to the saints and not something that would defile or bring down or place a stumbling block before these that are gathered. Father, we ask you please to fill me with your Holy Spirit and these as well. Open the ears of everyone that their ears may hear. Their minds, that their minds may be stayed on the words of God, their hearts, that they may receive the things that are spoken, and then, Father, that each may receive those things in such a way that it will help them, by the study of doctrine, to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And okay, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 21, this fellow named Jubal, the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. Now, I'm sure, I hadn't checked this out for dating things, but I'm sure that when you go through school and you look at things like the Bronze Age and the Iron Age and the creation and formation of musical instruments, that they'll probably put all the dates later than Lamech's children. I'm sure of that. I'm sure that they're going to tell you that these accounts in Genesis couldn't be true because they didn't have brass and iron and musical instruments back in those days. I'm sure that I've seen that in looking through certain school curriculum material. Now, I don't know how many of y'all are familiar with about the time frame, but the flood doesn't happen until 2348, and Lamech, who has these kids, is probably born, 3875? It's probably, that'd be for Cain. Lamech's going to be a little bit later than that. He'd be Cain, Enoch, Irad, Mahushael, Methusael, Lamech. Six generations. We're probably dealing with 130 years jumping to each generation, you know, as one's born has the next one. So 700, we're around 3,000. And they'll probably put all this stuff much later than that, 2000 BC, somewhere in that neighborhood. But you know, one time I was traveling to the Philippines, and I was in an airport in San Francisco, and they had these musical instruments on display. They had everything dating right back to the flood. Stuff is old. It's old just like the Bible says it's old. And the Bible's account is right, and science, the Bible says, is falsely so-called. They're not going to be able to tell you accurately what the Bible has told you. They had stringed instruments, and they had wind instruments in Cain's line real early. He said, how in the world would they have had the scientific ability to know how to create those instruments? Well, I'm going to show you. Let me ask you a question. From what you saw last week and from what you know about Cain, is Cain's line going to be the good line or is Cain's line going to be the bad line? Bad line. Cain was of that wicked one, 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 says. And we found in his line last week idolatry connected with cattle. We found in his line polygamy. It eventually ended up in Provo, Utah. We found a murderer. We found a liar in Cain's line. And his offspring take on many of the characteristics. Now, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 28 and notice something about where these guys could have learned how to deal in brass and iron and musical instruments. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2. The Bible says, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. Look at that capital G on there. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Now, this passage that you're reading here is addressed to the prince of Tyrus, right? But the characteristics of this prince that you are fixing to study are the characteristics of Satan. Does that concern you that God would speak that to a prince and yet be addressing the devil in the prince? It shouldn't, because you'll remember a time when Peter made a confession about Jesus Christ being the Messiah, or being the Christ, the Son of the living God. And a few verses later, he rebukes the Lord for saying that he's going to go to the cross, and the Lord looks right at Peter, the Bible says, and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. So he's addressing the devil in this prince, and the characteristics that you read are the characteristics of the devil. Look at verse 3. Behold, Ezekiel 28:3, Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, they say that the words of this Bible are antiquated and old. They still call it drug trafficking today. In other words, it's not. You understand they're talking about trading, buying, selling. By thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Now let's just jump on down a little bit here. And notice in verse 13, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Okay, now we know this is not some prince of Tyrus that Ezekiel is addressing, you know, around 800 B.C. or whatever. We're talking about somebody that was back there with Adam and Eve. Well, we know God was there. We know Adam was there. We know Eve was there. We know somebody else was there. Who was that? The devil. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So the devil was created as a musical being. The instruments are in him. You see that? Now look in Job chapter 38, which is right before Psalms. Go back to Job chapter 38. And look at this. When God was creating things in the universe, or actually even before he was doing that, he relates to us by asking Job some questions in Job 38. He relates some things that were going on. Notice in verse 4. Job 38:4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Verse 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? Verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. There's a bunch of singing going on up there in heaven. All that musical stuff is in the devil. Some people say he was the choir director of the angels at that time. Well, there may be some validity to that, but he certainly had the instruments of music. So is it any surprise to you if the Lord says to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, you of your father the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning, and he was also a liar, a reference to Cain. Is it any surprise to you that the devil would teach the offsprings of Cain the use of musical instruments? It's not to me. It's not to me. Who do you think is instructing Hollywood to come up with all these movies about things that concern biblical prophecy that are twisted in such a way that you'll miss it? Who do you think's doing that? You think it's the Lord? You think they're getting that stuff out of the Bible? No, it's a satanic spiritual influence. And the same was true of Cain's line when musical instruments were starting to be used. And he was an instructor in such as handle the harp and organ, stringed instruments and wind instruments. So the devil has these things in him, and these musical instruments begin to be used. Now, if you know anything about music at all, and I don't mean that you're a student of it, you just listen to some of it, can you tell that there are basically two lines of music? I mean, they say, well, no, there's a bunch of lines. There's soft rock, hard rock, punk rock, rock and roll and blues. There's, ballroom dancing. There's big band sound. There's little band sound. We got a little band sound here. There's country and western. But all of that stuff falls into one category. And then there's another kind of music that falls into a completely different category. You know what the two categories are? Basically, spiritual music that ministers to the spirit and carnal music that ministers to the flesh. Two broad categories of music. One category is used by the devil to draw men away from God. The other is used by the Lord to draw men to God. Two basic lines. One promotes the flesh, the other promotes the spirit. I'll give you a few examples of that kind of music that promotes idolatry, promotes flesh, promotes man's images. Look in Daniel, for instance. Daniel chapter 3. Look at Daniel chapter 3. And we read about a fellow named Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist. Nebuchadnezzar. Do you know what I mean when I say that Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist? In the same thing that I mean that Hitler was a type of the Antichrist. Obviously, Hitler wasn't the Antichrist. He's dead. But when he was alive, there were a lot of people that said he is the Antichrist. Why? For one thing, he was killing Jews. Nebuchadnezzar also was a man that killed Jews, and he went down and took them captive and brought them into Babylon. When you read Revelation 17 and 18, the city that the Antichrist has is called Mystery Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist. The Antichrist in Revelation 13 has an image. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3 has an image. Notice in verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up. Now notice how the men knew it was time to worship that image. Verse 5. That at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Music used to worship an image of a man who is a type of the Antichrist. You would expect if he was doing that, that it would be an ecumenical thing. That is, everybody brought together. Look at verse 2. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, the rulers, the prophets to come to the dedication of the image. It was. I heard a fellow comment the other day, and it was a good comment. He said, I believe that George Bush is being used by the Lord in fulfillment of prophecy to get the nations closer together. Doesn't mean that it's the fulfillment of end time prophecy. Didn't go that far. It may be, it may not be. But you're seeing a person who has the ability and obviously the blessing of the Lord to make this thing happen. Never in history have you had a coalition involving so many different religions and so many different nationalities as you see today. All that's showing you is God has his hand in it. There may yet be another world ruler who even does a better job than this. But right now his ratings are high everywhere, except against the enemy. And at the same time, it's being done in the history of this nation where we are showing less support for the Jews than we ever have. That's a phenomenal thing. It's a phenomenal thing. All right, so as we think about these things and we think about music coming out of Cain's line, then we got to be conscious of the fact that that there is something bad about music that doesn't honor and glorify God. Look in Job chapter 21. Job chapter 21. Now notice the context is verse 7. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, or mighty in power? The context is the wicked. In Job 21, verse 7. Now watch, verse 11. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. Those were the instruments there, harp and organ. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him, and what profit should we have if we pray unto him? These are folks that have been singing and dancing and carrying on with their music, and it got to a place where they said, what do we want to do with God? Sounds like the public school system today. Okay, now there's other stuff in your handout there, but that'll give you sort of an idea. Now there's another line. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, and notice we are instructed as Christians about music. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, now look at verse 18 for the context. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Context is being filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms. Where are they? They're in the book. Go from 1 to 150. Psalms and hymns, where are they? It's in the hymn book. And spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see that? We have a specific instruction in music, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You'll find that same thing again in Colossians chapter 3. Let me ask you something. People talk about heaven. I mean, people that don't even read their Bible, they talk about heaven. What do they say? Streets of gold. What else? Harps. They do. And when you read through the book of Revelation, I gave you one reference, but there are several. There are people up there harping with their harps, and they're not harping on anything. They're just harping with their harps. They're playing some musical. There's a kind of music that ministers to the Spirit and glorifies God. There's another that ministers to the flesh and glorifies man. And from Cain's line, evidently, we get that strain of music. Two strains. Now, do you have any wisdom at all to tell which one is which? Huh? Well, listen to the lyrics. Well, what about this kind today that says, Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, I love you. Good lyrics. Jesus, 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 I love you. That's great lyrics. Don't think there's a whole lot of spiritual in that. Everybody's over there going, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. You know, go home and say, did it minister to your spirit? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. You know, well, what are you doing all this for? There is a degeneration. You like that? We'll do it again during the service. No, you were just setting me up for that. It was all, this is all a setup. This is a planned deal here, see. Listen, if I can't make it as an independent Baptist preacher, right, buddy, I got me a... I'll have me a thousand in church in a couple of weeks, amen. You wait till Ann and I get up here and do it together. We'll really get them going. Amen. Well, of course you can tell. You can tell right away because you can feel that stuff in your flesh and that stuff that deifies man and that other stuff that glorifies God. There's some classical music that was written by people like Beethoven and Brahms and Bach and Haydn and Vivaldi and people like that. Old stuff. Spiritual. Didn't minister to the flesh. A lot of classical music today is I don't know, it's confusion for one thing, but it also ministers very much to the flesh. So you see there's a couple of lines here. That it will show you that because if you find this stuff located in Cain's line, then what you want to start looking for is areas of degeneration. And certainly we see it more now than it's prevalent, so prevalent today more than any other time. All right, now they also have in their line somebody that instructs Tubal Cain, verse 22, Genesis chapter 4, instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Brass and iron, when you go through the metals in the Bible, the metals, I don't mean metals like the first place metal, but metal, M-E-T-A-L. When you go through the metals in the Bible, which one is the highest metal? Gold. Which one's second? Then? Brass. Then? Iron. So Nebuchadnezzar has this dream of an image that has a gold head, silver torso, brass loins, and legs of iron. And each one of those kingdoms in that vision of Daniel chapter 2 is inferior to the one before it. So when these guys are artificers in brass and iron, they are artificers in inferior elements. You know something, how many of y'all have been to the big city skyscrapers? I mean, you know, Houston or up. You know, all of you, sometime or another. Did you ever notice those things are iron skyscrapers with glass and stone facades, and when you get inside of the lobbies, then they use all kind of brass rails, brass around those elevators and stuff like that. Lots of use of brass and iron in cities. And Cain was a city man, built one and named it after his son Enoch. So in the Bible, we find some very strong references to brass and to iron. Now, brass has some functions that are good and a number of references that are very bad. Iron, solid bad. It's inferior. Everything referencing the iron comes out bad or negative in the Bible. And so I've listed a lot of these for you, and I'm not going to take you through every single one of these, because I've wrote it out for you where you can see it and be able to get it. But notice in the tabernacle that Moses built, when you are inside of the tabernacle and inside of the Holy of Holies, the place that's behind the veil, what's in there?
Gold.
It's the ark and the mercy seat. You come outside of that thing, and then there are three other things inside of that tabernacle that are on this side of the veil. What are those things? They're gold. They're wood, but overlaid with gold, like Jesus Christ, man, and yet God. See that? So there's a table of showbread, there's a golden candlestick, and there's an altar of incense, all gold. Then you step outside of that thing, and there are two other instruments in the tabernacle, outside of the tabernacle, between the door to the court and the door to the tabernacle. What are those?
Brass.
One of them is the laver, that's where they wash, and the other one is the altar where they sacrifice, and both of those have to do with things concerning sin and uncleanness and sacrifice. Of the things that are involved in that tabernacle, those have negative implications because they have to do with sacrificing for sin and getting clean from sin and being clean from being unclean. All right, and they're brass. So that sort of establishes what brass is going to be likened to as you go through the rest of the Bible. Let's look at some of these things here. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. As long as we're studying brass and iron, I'll just show you both of these together. First Samuel chapter 17. We're reading about a fellow named Goliath. That's a good guy in the Bible, right? Yeah, he's not a good guy. He's a giant. He's an enemy of the Jews. 1 Samuel chapter 17, look at verse 5. Verse 4 for the context, this fellow champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. Verse 5, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass, that's to protect his legs, upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. His armor is brass armor. Watch this. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of what? Iron. Iron. Look in Job chapter 40. Look at Job chapter 40. Notice verse 14 for the context. Job chapter 40, verse 14 for the context. Verse 15, actually. Job chapter 40, verse 15. Behold now Behemoth. Behemoth is a bad guy. The name means cattle. It's a singular word with a plural. Like cattle is, doesn't say cattles, cattle, but it means bunch of cows. Behemoth is that kind of thing. All right. Notice verse 18. His bones are as strong as pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. The negative references. Behemoth, type of the devil.
Oh, I know, but I mean, what kind of animal was it?
I don't know.
Well, my Bible said it has a little...
Elephant.
No, it's a hippopotamus.
No. Hippopotamus. Yeah, I realize that, but no. It's behemoth. There's no hippopotamus that fits this description here. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm not a scholar in.
You don't need to be to figure that one out, right? Amen? Yeah, it's a reference to like Leviathan, that fiery serpent, Behemoth is all. You know, because when people draw the devil, they draw a horned faced ox. It has that kind of connotation connected with the cherub. Yeah, I've heard that too, because they're trying to locate dinosaurs in the Bible, but no dinosaur that was ever done had this kind of structure. As a matter of fact, we just did a thing. I had a question about it when I was doing a question and answer thing last week about where the dinosaurs are, and I won't go through the whole thing. If you have access to the internet, you can go to that website on the Unknown Bible, www.unknownbible.com, and there's a thing I've done on that. There is in the Bible, there is a flood that takes place between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And it's cited in 2 Peter chapter 3. And if you were going to locate the dinosaurs anywhere, it'd be at that point. Because you never hear any other reference to them from Genesis 1:2 all the way to Revelation chapter 22. One of the reasons that you don't is because much of the skeletal reconstruction of dinosaurs is plaster of Paris. The scientists don't know. They're probably more like dragons and satyrs and stuff that are referred to in the Bible as coming, and probably some things that have been here. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 1, chapter on charity. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So, as you see, throughout the Bible, there's going to be negative references to this metal, brass. Iron has many more. Iron is loaded. I've given you bunches of them in your handout here. Sisera, I'll just go through some of these with you. In Judges chapter 4, Sisera was a type of the Antichrist fighting against the Jews. He had 900 iron chariots. You saw Goliath's spearhead was made of iron. Og, the king of Bashan, that was attacked by the Jews when they were outside the Jordan River before they went into the land of Canaan, was a giant, and he had a bedstead that was made of iron. Negative references. No iron tool was heard during the construction of Solomon's temple. They didn't use them up around there. There's no iron used in the ark. There's no iron used in the tabernacle. Egypt, the ones that kept Jews in slavery, was referred to as the iron furnace. There's nothing good about it at all. God promised he would put the Jews under a yoke of iron, and the mutated locusts that come out of the bottomless pit in Revelation chapter 9 have iron breastplates. It's nothing good. Nothing good. There's a lot of connection between iron and the devil. Now, the point of this study is then to show you that as we have made progress in industry and in technology and in music, progress is exactly 180 degrees opposite of what's really happened. We haven't had improvement and progress in construction and in the use of brass and iron and in music. What we've had really is degeneration. It's gone down. And yet the world looks at that and says, look how great. And eventually what happens is where it comes from. So, you know, it's really a bad commentary. You hear this thing over and over again. People say, yeah, but things are getting better. Isn't that strange?
They wax worse and worse.
Because men depend upon their own inventions to solve their problems, and they don't solve the problem. What's the main problem facing every human being on the face of this earth? Main problem. Sin and the consequence of sin, which is, and there's not an invention in this earth that any man has ever come up with that solves either one of those problems. Yeah, thank God, right? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ solved both of them. And that doesn't come out of Cain's line. It comes out of Seth's line. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for what we've been able to see in this Bible today because it gives us a real commentary on the world and the world's dependence upon itself to make these great things. And Father, while we have the benefit of being able to use things, Lord God, we thank you that we have not come to the place where we worship things, but worship the Lord God. And we thank you, Father, that you've been able to show us through the Scriptures a commentary, your commentary on these things, so that our eyes will be fixed firmly upon the Lord Jesus Christ and not upon the things that we see of the world around us. Father, bless this time of fellowship that we now enjoy for Jesus' sake. Amen.